Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, January the 10th, 2016.
It is a joy to be with you today, lead you in worship, and as we begin this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and together and begin with "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
Oh,
Jesus, you are higher, you are stronger. You may be seated. for us, so we will live this truth in honor of your name. And we lift our voices high to give you endless praise, Jesus, hope of the world. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Would you stand with me as we continue in worship, singing step by step, "Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you."
Good morning, Grace. Good to be here with you this morning. It's kind of a fun day. We get to kind of test out, I think, the AV crew up there. We've got a new soundboard working, so things could be all over the place, or maybe they're just going to be great. It's fun. Matt says it's going to be all over the place. We're going to have a good time, but excited to have that, and for the folks who wanted to see it happen and donated a little bit to make it happen, that was really exciting, but good to be here. This is my first Sunday preaching in 2016. If you weren't here last week, we had Pastor Kelly came up and spoke to us, and he talked about fear, not trying to lead us into fear, of course, but away from fear. And it's a great lead into where we're going today and really for the rest of the year. So let's pray as we get into God's word and what I believe is the plan that he has for us for this year. Father, we are, I pray, thankful to be in your house together as people desiring to praise you, to seek you, and even to obey you, to grow in our obedience and in our service to you. Today, as we kind of look forward to the next year, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds, convict us of ways that we need to change, and just open us to where you have for us to go. And I pray that it would be a time of excitement and joy, just looking forward to how you desire to move in and through each of us as individuals and as a congregation. I got to pray that your words, your truth, and your plan are what are heard today, and that we would commit all of this to you with open hands, open minds, open hearts to follow you and however you may take us this year and beyond. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. It was great to have Kelly last week kind of take the time to look back at 2015 and talk about a little bit of where we might go this year and just spend time in thankfulness for where we've been and then looking forward just a bit to where we go. But this week, that's what I want to do in particular is look forward to where we're going to be going, I believe, as a congregation this year. And last week, as Kelly was sharing, I grinned a little bit over here because, you know, I hadn't written the whole message for this week, but I had an idea of where I was going, so he hadn't kind of seen what I was doing, and he talked about something that he heard from Lynn Tweedy about this idea of kind of a word for the year that she had given to him, and he talked about that for us as individuals, but I kind of grinned about that because that's what I was already thinking for us for this year. Where are we going? And it's not just one word. I came up with multiple words, just two. That's multiple still. It's a multiple of one times two for all of you math people out there. But you know, still a couple of words, and I will get to those in just a second. And as he was kind of going through these things, I was kind of thinking about what would this year at Grace be all about. And I knew my plan for this Sunday was to talk about where, Lord willing and guiding, where I think we're going this year. And so when I had the time away on the break and knew I wasn't preaching, I had some time just to kind of sit at home and tweak and work a little bit on the, is that me? I don't know what to do, but I'll try not to do it again. I want to stand like this for the rest of the message. So, but to work on kind of the preaching plan for this year. So we've kind of got that together of an idea of where we're going, and I want to let you know kind of what we've completed during that time off. And thinking about the message today, though, initially I thought of a phrase that kind of was telling me a little bit about what we're doing as a church, not necessarily our direction, but maybe our process of what we're doing right now as a congregation. And the phrase I initially thought of is one of those that some of you crazy masochistic kind of people out there are very familiar with. Y'all know yet who I'm talking about? If that keeps on going, I'll just switch to pulpit if you want to get ready for that. But there's a certain group of people around here, and it's a growing trend. I'm just going to stand here at the pulpit today if you want to shut that off. That side. All right. But it's kind of this growing trend of people around here, and not just here, but around the world, that enjoy torturing themselves almost daily for many of them. And they practice, I think, several days a week. These people will go out and they'll practice just to be able to go out and suffer intense pain on a given weekend. A lot of them even go and put just loads of money into this abuse, abusing themselves, and part of that money is eventually going to go to surgery to repair the damage that they're doing to themselves. I think y'all are catching on here, but it's even worse. It's kind of like this cult that's trying to get other people to come and join them in their torture, and it's concerning how much it is growing around here. I have to admit, honestly, because I do try to be transparent with all of you, that this is something I've dabbled in a little bit myself, but it's been a while since I have. I'm talking about runners. Amen. I have people with me. Your husband's probably out today running, I think, right? Oh, okay, he's here. Okay, he made it here anyway. Yes, the runners, the crazy people out here. And no, I don't really have anything against runners. I do think you're insane. But the phrase that they're all familiar with that I think applies to us as a congregation is ready, set, go. A lot of time here in 2015, I think, was focused on the ready portion of that. Or some might say, on your mark. That we as a church, I think in 2015, and it's still continuing, that it's been kind of about preparing us for what the Lord has in store for us as a church and as individuals. But before we dive into the future, we needed to be prepared. We needed to be on the right mark. And we're not done with that yet. And really, you're never finished getting onto that right mark. We need to need consistent checkups to make sure that we're still on our mark, that we're ready for what God has for us whenever He may tell us what that is at different times. 2016 is going to be more, I think, about getting set. And then the kind of the beginning steps of go. To go and to implement what it is that we've been preparing for, what we've been getting ready for. And getting ready, I think a lot of that has been about the heart, about being prepared to receive direction from the Lord. And before we dive into the future, we've got to be prepared for what He's got for our hearts. Getting set then is about preparing to be and to do what we're called to be and to do. And it involves corporate teaching like this, what we're doing right now. So at the end of our message today, I want to walk through the 2016 preaching plan. But it involves a lot more than that. It involves training. So we're going to be training deacons and their roles, and particularly how to care for the congregation. We're going to be training ministry leaders and the expectations that we as a church have for those various leaders and how to hit the mark on what it is they're called to do and then how to lead others to do the same. We're going to be training teams, all of the teams we hope that are working and serving in so many ways, in so many wonderful ways around the church, but training them on accomplishing the task that the Lord has given them and gifted them to accomplish within His church. We're going to offer training for everybody in aspects of Christian life and service like evangelism and marriage and parenting and so on and so on. And we're planning to offer more and more of these opportunities for us to all grow in those areas this year. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this stuff in the next series that we get to in just a couple of weeks. But for this to happen, to be set, to get set to go and do what God has got for us, that includes a lot of forethought. It includes a lot of intentionality. We don't want this to be something that we just kind of fall into as we go, although there is that aspect as you follow the Spirit that you don't always know exactly what the next step is going to be. But just as an example of kind of the forethought and intentionality would simply even be something as simple as our church budget. How many of you really enjoy church budget meetings? We have one. He's proud. The concerning thing here is that no one from the finance committee actually put their hands up there. We're done with this stuff. But the budget really is, it's an important example of making sure that we're intentional about the things that we're going to do as a church. I don't know if it's out there yet, but by next week we should have available for you a copy of the budget so you can look at that ahead of time before you come in and vote on that. But it's going to look a lot different than what you've seen in previous years. And Mike and Pam in particular have been working to kind of do all of the stuff in the weird accounting database systems to make that all work. But it looks different intentionally because we want it to be easier to understand. And we walked through back in August as a staff, we walked through our 2016 calendar together, and it was our staff retreat, and it was probably the most fun I think any of us have ever had, was going through our budget and calendar. Y'all wish you were there for that, right? For all of 2016. But okay, there were parts of it that were maybe a tad on the dry side. But in general, it really was a good time looking at what we believe the Lord is trying to do in each of our ministry areas. And so as we went through the calendar, part of that process then is just saying, okay, what is it going to cost us to do these things? And that's how we've come up with the budget. And it's been split. What you're going to see that's different is it's split into gather, grow, and go. I got to go backward because you guys are looking at me. But gather, grow, and go. And it's split into those areas so that we can track how the money that we spend, where the resources here go, how it's divided among those areas, amongst other things like technology and all the administrative things that have to happen. And part of the reason for doing that is so that we as a congregation can hold each other accountable for how we spend and making sure that we're spending in ways that apply to what the Lord has called us to do. And it's to help keep us on track, making sure that we're not spending outside of our mission. But getting set also involves restructuring to
provide necessary leadership and focus. And we talked about that a couple of months ago at lightning speed. And that's why we have Fred, in case you didn't catch this stuff, because I spoke a little bit quickly that day. On average, I think I do here probably 170 to 175 words a minute. My normal would be 185 if I wasn't intentionally slowing myself down. I think that last Sunday, one of the mid-Sundays in November, I think I was over 200 words per minute that day, but we made it through a lot of stuff. But what we talked about then and what we're doing and kind of this structuring for the future is why we have Fred over here is going to be leading our Gather ministry, and Kelly, who's back here, leading our Grow ministries, and then Mike over here leading our Go ministry, to make sure that we're being very intentional about the direction that we're going in each of those areas, that we're focused and prepared for that. It's also why we're moving toward a family ministry philosophy, and Pastor Kelly's going to be at the helm of that. He's going to be focusing on parenting and marriage and coordinating the team together. David's going to continue working with youth and intentionally this year as well, rebuilding our college ministry. Very excited, too, and you can come on up if you want to. You know who I'm talking to. But very excited to announce that we've got a new children's ministry director, and Caitlin Pollock is who we've got here. And she hopefully looks very familiar to all of you, as she's been here as our interim, and she has already been working just far above expectations. And the really fun part of what we're doing right now is I've asked her to come up here so you guys can see her and see her face as I talk about her, but I'm not letting her say anything. So she didn't necessarily want to. So she just gets to sit here and be embarrassed until I tell her to go sit down. So that'll be a lot of fun. It's kind of like the intro hazing, I guess, for coming onto staff. But we are excited to have her here, and a couple of things she's done. And the fun thing was, I was going to kind of, you know, talk to you, but I've got to stay toward the mic here. But she's done a great job as an interim, and we kind of set some hours and expectations, and she's blown that out of the water. I mean, she's done a lot of preparatory work that I don't know if anyone else even saw happening. Things like organizing closets and going in and making sure that we have all records of all of our background checks, and everyone's gone through those background checks, and has gone well beyond the hours that we asked her to do or have even paid her to do, wanting to have things set up for whoever was going to take over. And I think she kind of had in mind that she would like to, and we're glad to have her doing that now. But I think, you know, as someone as an interim, you're not supposed to have kind of implement vision and big change, and she's done well to not do that, but she can't help but dream about the ministry as you kind of get into it and see things that may need to happen. And her dream and her vision fits right in with this church and the staff team direction. She's got a very missional heart, a heart to go out and to reach other people, children in particular, but also very organized, which speaks to somebody like me. I love that. And she's bringing in, I believe, exactly what we need at this time, at the right time, for our children's ministry and for our church as a whole. So, and I'll let you go ahead and sit down now. You know, I think I've embarrassed enough. This is really good. But the staff, we have a staff committee. That's kind of a new thing that I've done as well, just kind of bringing together a group of people, kind of an eclectic bunch that have some kind of experience in working and hiring and managing people. But I brought this group around to help me make decisions when it comes to staff, to make sure that I'm not taking advantage of staff and that they're well cared for. And so we brought them together, and then making the decision for Caitlin, they went and got some questions from parents and from the children's ministry team. And then we came together and asked her all of those questions, and her responses really couldn't have been any better. It's exactly what we would want to hear, not in that she kind of read into it. There's those times when you just know that the Lord is bringing something together. And so what she had to say about the direction she saw for the children's ministry, how to work with teams, how to work with parents, how to work with children, was just right on spot for what we need. So be sure, before you leave today, make sure you take time to welcome her. Probably going to find her back there with the children. That's the easiest place to find her. But make sure, too, that you're praying for her and for her ministry. And I want to take just a second to do that now. So, Lord, I just thank you for Caitlin, for the work that she's done here, for the legacy that's been left before her in the children's ministry of caring for children and leading them to know you. And I pray that as you bring her in, that it would be a time that she would lead the team, the parents, and the children to things that we can't even imagine, to reach children and families in this area, to grow the ones that we have. And I pray that you would bless her with vision, with excitement and passion, and with the people that she needs to help get the job done. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, beyond training, as we talk about things that we need to do to get set, Beyond training, it involves heart change. It involves selflessness and courage to step into the future. And we're all going to have a role to play for us to truly be what we're called to be and to do as a church. And we need to check our hearts to see that we're living in and offering grace to others. And that can be scary sometimes, because it involves admitting where we go wrong and really looking deeply into ourselves. And that's why Kelly's message last week was such a good lead into this year and into this message even today, because we're going to face changes this year. We've got to be prepared for that. And I'm not saying that there's going to be some massive changes at the church, but every one of us as individuals, we're going to face life change of some kind. We as a church will see changes. It happens. If you're not changing, if you're not growing, then you're stagnant, and that's not a good place to be. And in some ways, we'll become more traditional, and in some ways, we'll probably become more modern as well. But it's all going to be done with intentionality to pursue what it is the Lord is calling us to do. And the goal is to bring us together rather than separating us across generations or preferences, but to really be a church that is one and united. So we talk about being ready, set, and go to do what we're called to be and to do, but what are we getting ready and set to go and do? That's where I want us to focus today. I'm not going to make you wait until the end of the message to know what it is I want us to be and to do. In 2016, my prayer is that we would become grace. But what does it mean? What does that mean to become grace? What I'm talking about is becoming a people of grace, to be vessels of grace toward others. Individually, we want to be people who just exude grace. Living in grace ourselves, that means receiving grace and offering Christ's grace to ourselves, but then also showing that grace to others. And as we go out into the world, that we as individuals and as a church would be the embodiment of what it means to be gracious, to bring grace to others. And it's also going to mean refining our DNA as a church. I'm not saying changing at all. It's already there, but we want to refine and constantly build on where the Lord has already brought us. It's like what Mike Loftus talked about. If you were here the week before I started, he talked about grace being more than just a name. And when people talk about Grace Baptist Church, they're not talking about the thing that's named Grace, but they're talking about a place that is grace. When people walk through the doors here, they need to experience true grace. True grace in the way that they're received, so that when they pull into the parking lot for the first time, they can see on the faces of the people who are directing them in the parking lot, who are coming into the building, that they can see that these people want them here. No matter what they look like, what they drive, that's hard sometimes for a car guy. I probably have memorized what most of you drive by now. I don't know if you've caught this. But no matter how they're dressed or what their lives have been like, that we want them here. And we want to show them the same grace that we have received. We want them to experience grace in how they see us interacting with one another. So that they see us coming in and treating one another graciously, that they're not coming in and seeing clicks or hearing gossip or seeing sad faces, but seeing us enjoy doing life together. Seeing us open with one another. We want them to come in and experience true grace in how we perceive ourselves, how we handle our own guilt, and how we trust others with it. So when they look at us, they don't see a group of people that have come together and are kind of putting on airs for others, trying to make it look like we have it all together. How many of you in here have it all together? Okay, seriously, look around the room here, people. Maybe some of you are afraid to actually put your hands up, but I hope not. None of us in here has it all together, and we just need to be honest about that with each other. The life that you see from everybody on Facebook is probably mostly a lie, all right? We don't have it all together, and we need people to realize this, and we want others who come in to see that we're offering grace to ourselves, letting it go to others, and that we want them to see that we are transparent with others, that other people can see my sin. They can see yours, not because we're just trying to make it really obvious, but because we need the grace. And we want to receive that from others. I'm really, really excited about Celebrate Recovery starting Tuesday. Because in so many ways, that exemplifies what we need to be as a church. We'll go about it in some different ways, and there are things that we are called to do as a church that individual ministry is not necessarily called to do. But I would encourage all of you at some point, if not this Tuesday, at some point, go to one of the meetings just to see what it means to live out grace. People coming in and sharing in front of a group, here's where I struggle with sin. But unlike AA or anything else, people saying, here's where I struggle with sin, and I know the Savior who brings me grace. And living in that grace and not seeing even a hint of judgment from other people, because every single person in there is willing to admit, I am messed up. How many of you are messed up? Yes, should be all the hands there. And that's, we want to show this grace to other people. Also means, though, that we need to walk out of these doors energized and equipped to take grace to other people. In our families, into the workplace, into our neighborhoods, and around the world. And we're going to do that together as a body, and we're also going to do that individually with the support of the church behind you, the support of the church body. So we talk about grace, and you get this little picture, and we all have these ideas in mind. But I want to look at what the prophet Micah, how he helps us understand true grace. In just a couple of verses of Micah chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. And he's talking here to an enemy. It says in verse 8, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness." What we see here is what John Piper calls gutsy guilt, as he's talking about grace and the way to live within grace. It's the opposite of cheap grace, and we'll talk about what that is in a second. But that cheap grace that I think a lot of us have an idea of what that is, but it's so rampant in Western church now in particular. But then it's also kind of fighting against the antithesis, you know, of legalism that many turn to in reaction to cheap grace, because cheap grace has been offered to so many in different ways, and we even have this kind of prosperity gospel idea out there. Many then others turn over to the other side of legalism. And so what Micah is looking at here is the antithesis of that legalism. When we were in Germany just a couple of months ago, we went to the place where Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged. I'm not sure the official wording for that, but he was killed in a concentration camp for his belief and for speaking out against Nazi Germany. He wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship, and in part, he was speaking out against cheap grace and against fear, and doing this in a culture, in that Nazi culture, where there is so much reason for fear, and where people were afraid to go out and live their faith because of what would happen to them if they spoke out against the atrocities going on in that world, in that nation. What we see from Micah here is grace that leads to true freedom. That's real grace. Cheap grace leads to license, and then you're still in this slavery to sin. But Micah, he fights against legalism. As we see, there's true grace. He fights against legalism that comes from the enemy. And the enemy wants Micah to feel guilty and hopeless because he's sinned. And think about the strategy of the enemy. If you feel like you are hopeless and you are lost and the Lord has just shunned you because of your sin, that you are worthless and useless because of your sin. If you think that, you start to act that way. And the enemy has knocked you out of the game. It's a great strategy, really. The enemy tells him that God has cut him off, that he's doomed because of his sin. Has the enemy ever done that to you? Because sometimes that enemy is yourself, right? Listening to the lies of Satan or just your own misunderstandings of grace and law and how those things work. Sometimes the enemy is the world saying that you're worthless and that you can't change. You just are what you are and there's no hope of anything different. And sadly, and I hope this will never again be the case here, but sadly sometimes the enemy can be in the church with people who don't forgive, people who shame you and people who shun you, or people who make you live up to their standards, which are really much lower than the Lord's standards, but they hold to them very tightly. Or people who make you live to their particular preferences. There's all kind of ways that the enemy comes against us. And Micah fights legalism with the gospel. And he fights cheap grace with the same gospel. He admits his sin, as you see there in verse 9. He says, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him." He doesn't hide it. He doesn't walk around saying, "I haven't sinned," or "I don't have struggles." But he admits it. He owns his sin. And he owns the consequences of that sin. As you see in verse 8, he says, I dwell in darkness. Yes, I sinned, he says. I messed up and I have grieved God and I deserve punishment for it. Even recognizes that sin has kind of a temporal consequence of straining that relationship with the Lord. But then he tells the enemy that God is not going to leave him in his guilt and in that darkness. Because God himself will be his light. I can't be my own light. All I can do is reflect the light that is the Lord's. He says that God will be his advocate on trial. That God will justify him because he can't do it himself. I can't overcome my sin on my own. My only hope in the judgment seat of God is that God himself will justify me by his goodness. God will be his light and his advocate, and by God's grace, his relationship with God is restored, and he's able to see God's righteousness, his goodness. He's able to see that again, and then he's able to not just see it, but to grow in it, to become more of what he's been called to be. The interesting thing here as we talk about this is that Micah, this is an Old Testament book. This is before the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he's writing before that time, but he's still trusting in God for salvation, not in his works, not in the law, because he knew he couldn't do it on his own. He had no other hope. And if he had lived after Jesus' time like we do, he would have pointed to Jesus as the one who accomplishes all of that for him. And that's where we all need to turn today. And it's a little weird, I think, to do an invitation in the middle of the sermon, but I've never claimed to be normal, nor have I ever had anyone else tell me they thought I was normal. So here we go. I'm completely certain that there are some people here who have never experienced that kind of true grace. And as I talk about what true grace is and how Micah is able to fight cheap grace and legalism, that just doesn't make sense. There's people here who have never experienced that kind of freedom from sin. So if you've never asked Christ for his grace, there is no better time than now. And seriously, I've said this a couple of times before. You are welcome to stop me in the middle of the service. We got, if I can have our staff, just get staff and deacons, just kind of put your hands up for a second. These are folks around the room that you can go to and talk to if you don't want to come up here and stop the guy preaching because that's a little awkward for you. They're here to talk to you about these kind of things. Because I know that there's some of you that need to experience this, that you need to admit that you're a sinner deserving judgment. And you'll have another opportunity for this as well at the end of the message, but admit that you're a sinner deserving judgment. But trust Jesus to justify you by his perfect life and his grace. There's also a place on the response card, the little info card that's in your bulletin, that you can just mark on there that you want information about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can turn that into the offering plate at the end of the service. You can come down. We'll have several of us in the front, as well as up there on the sides of the balcony that are there to talk with you and pray with you about that or whatever it might you might need. There's others of you, though, that have received God's grace, but you're not really living in it. You're living under the enemy's lies, and you need to say the same thing to the enemy that Micah did. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. You think you've blown it and you're living in guilt and shame, but God's grace is sufficient for you. So many times there's this concept in our heads that, okay, God's grace is sufficient for everybody else, but I have this one thing that I did. And that one, that's got to be the unpardonable sin, even though the Bible doesn't say so. I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but I do remember a time when I got a ticket. I had a ticket for reckless driving. Yeah, it's real bad. And I go to court, and standing out there, and the bailiff comes out and says, okay, we have a lot of folks here today, and the room was full. He says, anybody with a moving violation, if you just pay your fine, the judge is going to wipe it clean. I said, that's great, but mine was reckless driving. I wasn't doing anything that terrible. It's just whenever you have speeding and changing multiple lanes and driving through. Do y'all even know what the gore is? The gore is the part in between the highway and the exit ramp. You're not allowed to drive through that. When you do those things at the same time, it becomes reckless driving. But I'm thinking I'm toast. And so a couple folks raise their hand and say, well, what about this? I'm like, come on, people. We just had all moving violations. And so then it comes to me, well, what about this one? Because thinking reckless driving, no way, right? It says, no, it's a moving violation. You're fine. And it was great. And so many times we do that with our sin now. Well, what this other person does, that is forgivable. This other person who did the exact same thing I just did, they can be forgiven for it. But me, I'm not so sure about that. And so we live under the enemy's lie, and we don't believe that God's grace is sufficient for us, but if we believe God's word, it says that it is. So confess your sin honestly, as Micah did, and turn to Jesus as your light and your advocate, and then grow again. And at the end of the service, we're here to pray with you as well, or you can kneel where you're at, or come up here and pray in the front, whatever it needs to happen for you. But there's still others of you out there that are acting like the enemy. And probably, I would say hopefully, that's not intentional, but you're judging and shaming others and holding sin against them. And you're holding others to standards that God never intended to set up. And that's sin too. And there's no better time than today to confess that and to change, because Jesus forgives your struggle to show grace just like everything else. Today I want to walk with you through this vision, because the gospel is also the message that we need to live and teach and take to the world, and it's the message that we need to treat each other with. That's the dream. That's the vision. That's the goal for 2016, to become grace. That's why we're going to walk through this 2016 preaching plan, to help us get on the road to becoming grace, to let you know how we're going about that this year. And there's a lot more in this process than just preaching. I'm not going to pretend that me getting up here and saying things one time on a Sunday morning is going to change everything about the way that we live, but I hope that it has some kind of impact. But hopefully you'll get an idea of the path ahead. And there's probably going to be some changes along the way. Even after writing the plan, I've made a couple of changes to it already. It's a plan, but it's submitted to the Lord as the Spirit leads. Because things come up in the world that we may need to react to world events. Or there may be situations that come up in the church that we need to speak with as those become necessary. Throughout the year, too, we're going to have several kind of special Sundays that we'll take off. Next week, we're going to have our Sanctity of Life Sunday, so we'll focus specifically on that topic. We'll probably do something special for Mother's Day and Father's Day and Independence Day. But even as we do kind of those one-off outside of the series kind of messages, I want to emphasize becoming grace. How do you become grace as a mother and as a father? How does becoming grace, how does that work as we talk about the sanctity of life? How does all of this apply? And then right after the sanctity of life, we'll get into a message on Gather, Grow, and Go, a series there. And this is different from our first series on Gather, Grow, and Go, where we were walking through Acts and seeing what they did. This is focusing on us. I want us to dive deeper into our process, our strategy, our mission. Gather, Grow, Go is our process and system and strategy for being grace and for being people of grace. It's how we become grace, and it's how we celebrate it and grow in it. It's how we take it to others. It's how we do church by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. And I want us to understand that and own it together so that it reminds us who we are and what we're supposed to be about as a church. We're going to talk about the philosophy of each of those, and then we're going to get into the practical part, talking about how we're going to do each of those things. And I think it should be a really fun series. We're going to kind of use some different teaching methods about half the time going through there, so hopefully we'll all really enjoy that as well. After that series, we're going to get into one on life to life, is what I'm calling it at this point, as we'll follow, and this is kind of what some people may call mentoring or disciple making or discipleship. But we'll follow Jesus as he led and trained his disciples to learn to follow his methods. As he walked them through and said, okay, watch me as I do these things. And then he moved to a process of saying, okay, come and participate with me, help me. And then he watches them and sends them out and then helps them some, and then eventually hands the reins over to them to go and to do what he's called them to do. And then on Easter, we'll talk about giving himself for the ones that he loves, including us. It's how we instill grace and how we leave a legacy of grace in others. It's also a means for us of showing and receiving grace as we do life together, trusting each other with our sin and with our struggles and guiding each other through that. And mentoring and discipleship is a means of guiding people away from sin with grace. And we'll move into another series on James, which is actually part of our sort of Acts chronological series. If you remember what we're doing with that, we started out in Acts chapter 1 through 12, And so James kind of pops up in there after Acts chapter 12, somewhere in there, depending on how you date some of these things. And it's interesting the way it falls. We just ended in chapter 12 with the martyrdom of James. But that's a different James than the one who wrote this letter. So that can be a little confusing. We'll make sure you understand that when we get to it. But James is going to help us to see how we live out grace by showing us how we're supposed to live in grace. And a lot of times people think of the book of James as one that is kind of anti-grace, because it talks about works. But there is no way in which this is a legalistic book. It helps us to see how we live out our faith. What does it mean? What does faith look like? What is active faith? It calls people to repentance where we sin. It calls people to trust in Jesus' forgiveness, just like we see in Micah. And after that, I'm hoping to bring back the ministry fair that I've heard was done here before, and I would love to bring it back this year if we can make that work. It's taking a Sunday to introduce us to ways that we can intentionally be grace in our community, finding ways to go and to serve other people around here. There are so many wonderful organizations right here in Chattanooga where we can serve the community and we can show grace to people. And it's only by God's grace that we can be used as a means of grace for other people. See, part of becoming grace is finding ways to intentionally exercise grace. Then we're going to get to this kind of what I'll call a stretch goal. I am hoping and praying we can get to this one. It's a series on milestones. And it's a stretch goal because it's going to take a lot of work, especially for myself and from the family ministry team in particular and others that will draw in to help us out. But it's going to take a lot of work to develop this. Adult Milestones for Spiritual Growth and Development. That's what my dissertation was on, but it was the philosophical level. It was the, here's what I find happening in Scripture. And there's a lot more that goes to that, to actually using this as a process here at the church and helping people to grow through each of those areas. Our desire is to develop kind of a cradle-to-grave method, a process for people to become grace. And it's going to include the means of doing these things, like life-to-life relationships, like parent training events and counseling and celebrations for those who are going through each of those stages, those milestones and ceremonies that would go in there, and then making sure that everybody has the resources to walk through each of those areas as well. It's also how we hope to organize our church educational process and maybe even the school. There's a lot of things to look at within this, but the milestone system is going to help us be intentional about how we grow in Christ and how we live in and live out grace. And it's a pretty big undertaking. We're really excited about it, but I just ask your prayers that we can pull that together by the summer. And then we want to try something new to kind of kick off the new school year and have a plug-in fair. And that's taking a Sunday, kind of like the ministry fair, but taking a Sunday to display opportunities to serve and use your gifts right here at Grace. But also a time to get introduced to various classes and groups to help you to grow in grace. Because to become grace, we're called to serve one another. And we're never going to be completed in this lifetime in becoming grace. So we've got to continually grow in that gospel of grace. Then we'll get back into that Acts series, actually in the book of Acts. We want to look at chapters 13 through 15. That is the first missionary journey. We're going to learn from Paul and Barnabas and John Mark in there as well, as they take the gospel out into the world. Because see, a huge part of becoming grace is being grace, being a vessel of grace to others and taking that message out to the world. We become grace to others in part when we take grace to them. We're also going to see Paul and Barnabas react as people of grace in very anti-gracious situations. If you follow the book of Acts, Paul, Barnabas, others, they show a lot of grace. They don't necessarily receive a lot of it from the people around them, but they do from the Lord. And we'll see head-on collisions of grace and legalism and learn how to handle that in our own lives and the situations that we may walk into as well. And that study of the first missionary journey is going to lead us right into our missions conference for next year, where I hope that we'll do some more training for us, as well as hearing reports and getting excited about what the Lord is doing in our missionaries. But it's a part of how we as a church take grace to the world, becoming a means of grace. Really excited as we kind of wrap up the year, and I'll give you a little bit of a preview of what you'll hear at the Gather Report, but we were actually able to completely meet and slightly exceed our Faith Promise Missions budget for the giving this year. That was very exciting. But this year, too, I'd like to see beyond just giving of finances, I'd love to see somebody who is called to go to the mission field, and that is up to the Lord. It may even be that he's calling some people to return and do a particular work here. But I want to see grace taken into the darkness. And finally, we plan to end the year looking at Jesus in the Divine Humanity series. Because Jesus is the ultimate example of being grace. He's the only perfect example that we have. And Jesus is human. He's completely God, but he's human. And we're going to study in particular his humanity. And I will give you a little bit of a spoiler alert in case you want to go visit family for that month. But it may ruin some things for you, like the song that we love so much, Away in a Manger. We'll get to that in about a year. But we're going to learn from the author of grace about how to live out grace. And that's just a quick insight into our goal for 2016. And as we look at that, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. Do you really want to become grace? As I come in and I present all of this, do you really want to do that? Because like I said, this is going to involve personal change. It's going to involve conviction and just admitting that you still need grace. And that sometimes you probably don't show it in the ways that you should. Do you really want to do it? Is it worth it, or would you rather just stay right where you're at? Because we are planning to go forward. Secondly, what guilt and shame are you holding against yourself? What guilt and shame are you holding against others? Because when you're holding guilt and shame against yourself, that keeps you from going and being grace to others because you feel, as we talked about, worthless and unusable. It's a lie from the enemy. But as much as it's a lie from the enemy about you, it is about others as well. You can't look at other people and say that person can't serve because they've fallen in some way in the past. And that's when we show people grace and we heal them and we draw them back into the Lord to be useful again. Finally, how will God need to break you to become a person of grace? Are you somebody who struggles with legalism, who adds on laws to other people and says you have to do this, 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 and this in order to please God or to find him or to be useful? Or you may be somebody who believes in cheap grace and operates by cheap grace and maybe gives that to others to say, well, I'm saved. I don't need anything else. That's all I need. I have no need for growth beyond this. I've got a challenge for you. I just want you this week to examine your grace. And that may mean that you need to go and ask somebody close to you to help you with it. But admit where you're not living the gospel. Confess that to God and make it right, not just with him, but make it right with people. If you've been holding things against somebody, make it right with them. Hopefully you see where we're going this year, where we want to go this year. Maybe this is something, if you have not connected with a church body, maybe this is something that you know you want to be a part of. So there's a checkbox on your info card in there that says interested in joining the church. And you can drop that in the offering plate in just a minute with your contact info. And we want to tell you more about how that process works. Or listen, we're going to be standing down here. You can come now and we'll tell you about how that process works, about how you unite with this church and membership. But I'm sure that many, if not probably most of us, we need to respond to the gospel, like I talked about just a little bit ago. There's some of us here that need to start a relationship with Jesus, and there's a lot of us here that need to make it right. Because we all have ways that we fall short of God's glory, that we aren't living out grace. So however you need to respond to the gospel, we're here for you. We'll be standing in the front. We'll have some of the wings ready to pray with you. If you want to come down here, we'll just come and lay a hand over on you and pray over you. But there's no better time than now to turn away from fear of what people might think. Don't worry about, oh, I bet you I know there are people thinking. I know the sin that person's coming down to pray over. Don't worry about it. Who cares what these other people think? Be concerned with the Lord and find his grace. I'm going to pray, and we'll stand, and we'll sing, and that's your time to respond, whether it's coming forward or filling out a card to get it ready. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for grace. It's how I'm saved. It's how I continue to live. God, I pray that I would live in it. I pray that we would take grace to one another, around our community and around the world. This year, Lord, I pray that through preaching, of course, but through all of the things that you've called us to do, that we as a church would become grace, not just a name, but that we would become known for being gracious and being vessels of grace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on Jesus, beginning your all to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church.
Take a seat. Grace, it is time to give. And visitors, as I've mentioned every week here, all we ask from you is that info card. It's just a way that we can kind of say thanks for coming. We want to be able to get some information to you about the church. We're getting closer and closer to have all the pretty printed stuff. It takes a while to do that because we want it to be pretty. And we'll have it all out there on the pretty new info centers out there for you soon. But it's not there yet. So we want to make sure that we can get information to you. And thank you for coming. And so please get that information into the offering plate here in just a second. And, you know, there's some of you, too, that I'm sure may not have been up for coming and talking to people about whatever decision the Lord may have for you or whatever he may be doing in your heart. And so that info card in there, there's ways in there, too, if you want to fill that out or if there's just something you need prayer for, turn that into the offering plate so we can pray for you, contact you. As long as you have your information in there, we'll get in touch with you about those things. If I can have the ushers come forward, we will pray and we will take this morning's offering. Father, it is, as I think about just giving now, that what a grace it is to be able simply to give. You have been gracious to give us so much that we don't deserve anything. So, God, by your grace, I pray that the offerings given now will be used to go and to take grace out into the world, that to help us become people of grace, and ultimately, Lord, that it would all be used for your glory. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
the pastor to kind of walk up and just carry these things, but I've got a bunch of women coming up here. Now, y'all thought there was just kind of a mass repentance going on from the women of the church, but if I could have the Dominican Republic team come on up and stand up here. There's a couple of them heading to the Dominican Republic. Next week, this is going to be a very male-dominated church, as we've got all these women out, but the main reason I'm holding little guy is, well, one, I love me. Look at this guy. Thank you. And Judith, we've asked her to come and to pray over the women as they go to serve women in the Dominican. We'd ask that you be praying for all of them over the next couple of weeks as well.
Holy Father, we thank you so much for all these wonderful women who love you and are wanting to serve you and to serve the people of the Dominican Republic. And God, I pray right now for all those who have gone before that their excitement would just be renewed and that they would just be prepared for what you're going to do in them this time, and that it might be quite different than last. And I pray for all those who are going for the first time, for the nerves or the excitement or whatever's going on in their hearts, Lord, that you would continue to prepare in them a heart to see what you will have them do. God, I know you're going to do awesome things in them and through them. And Father, I pray for Gary and Allie that this would be a blessing to them. And even more so, Lord, I pray that you prepare each heart for the potential opportunities to talk to women who've been on the streets, who may be even currently on the streets. Father, I pray for great compassion, understanding, and most of all, to share your gospel with boldness. I know that's not easy for us sometimes, Lord, but I just pray for these women that they would see your power this week, not their own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies, we are excited to have all of you going on the trip, not just excited that you're gone, but that you're, you know, going out to do work, and you are exemplifying what it means to go, and it's wonderful to have all of you as a part of that. So come up, make sure you pray for these folks, get to know their faces so you know you're praying for them over the next couple of weeks, and with that grace, it's time to go.